All right, the Lord is good. If you believe, you give me an amen.
Amen.
If God is very, very kind to you, say another amen.
Amen.
And believe me, no matter how you feel, God is kind. Amen? Yeah, He's kind. He's a good God. He's a good God. One of the major problems people have in life, all right, human beings, which we have generally, I have noticed, is that oftentimes we fear, we sin against God, but we fear the devil. I have noticed that, and I just thought about it. We sin against God, but we fear the devil. So, and then some of us preachers, trying to explain how good God is, we get the impression that we don't speak well of Him if we say He does bad things. So God does not punish people. Israel has a very good friend who's a preacher who says that thing, that God never does anything. God will never, never do anything bad. And you see, as I go on today, I'm going to talk briefly about that. And that is not true, actually. God is a good God, but when you offend Him, you realize that God is a consuming fire. And I think we have to bear this in mind. It's very important for us believers, especially when we pray, we have to bear it in mind that the devil is not our problem. Are you getting my point? What did I say?
The devil is not our problem.
Now, what we should concern ourselves about is how we are before our God. But let's just read this one. It might be good to help us to get the thing I'm trying to say, all right, correctly. Let's take that one from Job. There was something that Job said, that Elihu said. Very, very important we get it clear. Job chapter 33, thereabout. Okay, Job chapter 35. Look at what he said from verse 8, and from verse 9. He said, because of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. They cry out, he said, they cry for help because of the arm of the mighty. But no one says, where is God my maker? Who gives us songs in the night? Who teaches us more than the beasts of the field, of the earth? And makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens? He said, there they cry out, but He does not answer, because of the pride of evil men. He said, verse 13, surely God will not listen to an empty cry. That is such an empty cry. That's what he was trying to say. Now let me just stop here. I just read that one to point out something to us, that whatever happens in life, the first thing we should say is what? Where is God my maker? Now people say that the devil is the one doing everything. Please, I beg to differ. The devil doesn't have that amount of power. Are you getting my point? They said that Jesus went around healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You see, it was the devil. And I agree with that. That's what the scriptures say. But you must understand that Jesus was a personification of the mercy of God. You get my point? That is, when He appears, all right, then He's a sign that God is showing you mercy. And that's why a lot of people, even though Jesus was the personification of the mercy of God, Jesus could not do anything for them. The Bible says when he got to his own hometown, he could there do no mighty works. All right? Why? The people did not believe in him. Faith is a sign that you are pleading to God for mercy. They did not have faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, he was unable to help them. And his inability to help them, all right, does not infer, therefore, that Satan is now more powerful than him, or that suddenly he lost the power he had against over the devil. The truth was that they did not reach to God for mercy. And when he did not reach to God for mercy, he therefore was not able to manifest that mercy that was found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to understand something here. The devil is not anybody's problem right now, especially those of us that are Christians. The devil is not our problem. Our problem is, where is God my maker? And God says something. It is not that my hand is too short so that I cannot deliver. No, it is that we have distanced ourselves from our God. There are a number of ways by which we do that, Christians. Number one, one major reason is that we don't attend to His word. We don't pay attention to what He's saying. You know, I was reading, you know, these days now, there's, you know, everybody's afraid now. And let me tell you something. Let me just tell you something. Anytime everybody's afraid, you know, there's a commandment. Jesus doesn't give advice. He only gives commandments. Are you getting my point? God doesn't give advice. He gives what? Commandments. So when He says, you look up and rejoice, for your redemption draws near. You know what that means? It's a commandment to look up and rejoice. So when you wake up in the morning, everybody's running up and down because of Ebola. You stay in one place and dance and say, Lord, I thank you. because victory is mine in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you know, somebody, past six, I'm sure it happened to some of you. In fact, my own was that somebody woke me up in the morning and said, sir, please, that they say you should come and beat with salt. And this and this and that because of Ebola virus. Actually, you know, it wasn't very early. This was like just past six. These days, I don't wake up very early. If I wake up very early, I go back to sleep unless I have to go somewhere that early. All right? So at that time, I don't know whether I woke up earlier, but I was still sleeping at past six. It is vain to rise up early, all right? So, I was just sleeping. So, when my phone was near my head, so it rang. I just turned, and on the screen, I saw who was calling. I answered because he doesn't call me often. So, I said, maybe it's an emergency. I did not know that people were bathing with salt water and sea water and cooking babies just to ensure that, you know. They said, please, they said that you should bathe with salt water and this and that and that. I said, why? He said, because it will protect him against Ebola virus. I was telling him, I said, that's totally stupid. I said, it's a lie. I just said simply, it's a lie. And somebody, I said, it's a lie. My mother, let me go back and finish my sleep. You know, there's a portion of sleep you must finish in the morning. So, I just told him simply, it's a lie. And I went to sleep. Of course, shortly after, I woke up again, picked my phone. My wife had gotten up, picked her phone, and was reading. Of course, she has beaten of my spirit. You understand my point? She has like my spirit. I just was just laughing. What is it? Say, people are saying they should beat with salt water because of Ebola virus. I said, what nonsense is all of this? Somebody not even added it. By the time I heard it, you know, people are funny. By the time I heard it later in the day from my mother's mouth, my mom is in my house, it had changed. They had added sound 23 to it. Yes. They had added Psalm 23. And if you wait for another 24 hours, they will have added Psalm 91. If you watch long enough, it will reach the Revelations chapter 20. I'm telling you. Towards the end of the day, somebody at least claimed that she was the one that started it as a joke. I said, they didn't care whether you personally said it or not. But of course, one lady came and apologized that, look, it was a joke amongst her friends that she posted it on Naira Land. You know? Yes. A young student in Federal University of Technology, Akure. A young lady. So she and her friends were playing. So they said, let's create a joke. And they posted it on Naira Land. If you know all these, you know, chat rooms and all of that. That's what they call Naira Land. And she posted it there. To her surprise, in 12 hours, people were bathing, oh God. May God have mercy. What I enjoyed about it was that I didn't believe a word of it. I did not believe a word of it. I just said, this is arrant nonsense. That's how I just said, look, people say, my mother was telling me that, you know, you don't believe such things. I said, mommy, have you noticed I've never been wrong? Yes. He said, you know, all these things, you never believe. I said, have you noticed? I have not been wrong once. Including the day they said that Pastor E. Adeboye said they shouldn't wear red. That time she was not. She called me early in the morning. That please, no, around 8 o'clock. That please, have I heard what? That Pastor E. Adeboye said that people shouldn't wear red. I said, if I want to wear red, I said, mommy, listen, if I want to wear red, I'm going to wait. So forget that one. He said, I know now. It's not because of you. It's because of my children that I'm, you know, my grandchildren. I said, they have gone to school. And if their school uniform contained red, you can be sure they will wear it. And I felt bad that day because there was no red inside their school uniform. She said early in the morning, before they left the house, I would have turned red cloth and put in everybody's pocket, pocketchief. We are going to look nice in school. At the end of the day, Redeemed Christian Church of God had to release a statement that Pastor E. Adeboye never said any such thing. I told my mother, I said, you see, I'm never wrong. What have I not even heard? Someone said, "Bo, the one that I heard that made me laugh. Let me not go there. Let me sit with my message. The Lord is good. Let me just take you with my message." All right? Now, why did I even go into all of that? I'm talking about fear. People became afraid. And Christians, instead of praying the proper prayer, let me just say something to you. They say, devil, devil, devil. Let me tell you one more time. time, eh? It's not devil. Devil is only devil in as much as a man hanging somebody, you know, is a killer. Are you getting my point? But it's not the problem. It's the judge that said you shall be hung by the neck until you are dead. It's only devil in as far as a man who's administered lethal drugs to an American condemned prisoner is the devil. That's just the extent. That man cannot administer those drugs until a judge rules that that man should die. In that regard, it is the devil. But who is the judge? That's what I'm talking about. The devil is not the judge. I will say something to you, I'll say it clearly. So that when you want to pray, you pray properly. We have attacked the devil enough as if he's a problem. He is not the problem. I will tell you what the problem is. It is the sin and the iniquity of the people in the land. That is what the problem is. And listen, if we don't pray, listen. Oh Lord, how do I say this? I'm not trying to scare you. You notice something? If you're going to read the way judgment is in the scriptures, you will see from the north, you know, this is what happened. Boko Haram was coming down from the north. Then a plague is trying to come up from the south. Starting from Lagos. Did you notice that? If you know how judgment comes, three prongs. The next one, it won't happen because that plague itself has to stop. All right? But so that we know how to pray. The third one is this, the earth will start opening. And let nobody lie to you that earthquakes can't happen in Nigeria. My message is that it's not the devil. What did I say? When I say it's not the devil now, what I mean is this. You cannot sit down and ask, you cannot sit down and say, devil, we want to fight you. You will win, you will lose that fight every single time. Because there's what the Bible calls the indignation of God. And when you want to tackle the indignation of God, you turn to God and ask him for mercy. That's what I'm trying to explain. I'm not saying we'll sit down there and be suffering. I'm saying that Christians often miss their prayers don't work because it is targeted in the wrong direction. They wake up every day, devil, listen. In repentance and in rest, that is when you will be saved. We have to tell the truth. Two problems. One, Nigerians are, not only Nigerians, you understand, just because I am here. Are you getting my point? It's everywhere. Human beings, okay, let me be like that. They offend God every day. And occasionally they trigger his indignation. But we are the light of the world. And we are what? The salt of the earth. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. So we have to, in that sense, when the salt, all right, loses its savor, that is, it's possible for the salt not to be doing its job. And I'm accusing a lot of us Christians today, we are losing our savor. Because the amount of iniquities that Christians also do. I'm not going to bring us something here. When you want to pray about all this calamity that's going on, please, I don't want all this fasting. Satan want to tell you, leave the devil for a while. Are you getting my point? What did I say? Leave him for a while. That guy is not as powerful as you think. He's not. When you want to pray, face the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy. It is when, listen, there was a time. I'll get to my message. There was a time, all right, that David sinned and decided to number Israel. And God sent a messenger to him that he should choose. This is my punishment. This is my indignation. Now, you are going to choose which one of the three. They are going to do the same thing. 3 years of famine. 3 months in the hands of your enemies. Or 3 days in my hands. And David thought, you know, he thought, said, God is merciful. So let's do something. Let us stay in his hands. After he said that, you know what he began to do? He began to intercede. Fighting the devil, no. But asking God for what? For mercy. And I'm saying that we as Christians can ask God for mercy for our land. And when we want to pray, that's what we should pray. I think all this one of all my enemies, we have this enemy mentality. What we should do is ask God for what? For mercy. And the man was there watching. 70,000 people died. Listen, I told you before, I spoke about that. At the point in time when he prayed and begged God that, listen, God, okay, even if I sinned, what these 70,000 people that you killed, none of them is me. Are you getting my point? Me, I'm still alive, the sinner. I see this sheep that you are now slaughtering. A day and a half had passed at that particular point in time. And listen to this. And he lifted up his head and he saw the angel. That's what I want you to understand. He lifted his head and saw the angel with a sword drawn. God now told him to go and offer a sacrifice. Listen, the sacrifice that we offer today as Christians, every sacrifice, all right, ended when Jesus was offered on the cross. But we as believers have the power and the right now to invoke the power of that sacrifice. And we have to do it regularly. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So he now offered the sacrifice. And then the plague ended. I want to talk about the plague briefly. That plague, if scientists were there, they would have cultured the organism. They would have identified the virus. It is you and I that have seen angels. You understand? It's David that has seen angels. Scientists would have seen something else. And it would have been the same thing. That is, it is the sword of that angel that you have seen. Put under the microscope. You see the sword. The days of plague in South Africa, when John G. Lake and his men prayed, after some days, they were able to attain, that's what I'm going to make, they were able to obtain God's mercy for that land. And at that time, God opened their eyes, and then they saw the spirits that were killing people. And they went and drove the spirits out of the place. And next day, the plague came down. So it was when they tapped into divine mercy. You must understand that. You cannot just blindly be fighting the devil. You must ask God for what? For mercy. Because if people don't realize, they don't realize that their sins are causing problems. The Lord is good. All right, but you see a connection between what I've said so far and last time, because I began to speak about this last time, that we must not take the name of the Lord our God in what? In vain. Let's not forget this. I just wanted to say something for a minute. I didn't know I was going to speak for this long. But listen to this. Okay, before we start, remember, we are filled with the knowledge of his will. If you believe that, say amen. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Amen.
All right, declare to yourself, say, I'm filled with the knowledge of his will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I please him in all respects.
I bear fruit in every good work.
And I increase in the knowledge of God.
Say, the word of God is coming forth.
And I have understanding.
And I have wisdom.
And I have clarity.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I just need to emphasize something. If you're a child of God here, say amen.
Amen.
If you have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, say amen.
Amen.
If that's the case, no evil shall befall you.
Amen.
Say like you believe it too.
Amen.
No evil befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because of the power of the redemption that you have in Christ Jesus, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
Listen, don't be afraid. The Bible says, never fear ye their fears. Are you getting my point? If you read any news, just rejoice. You just say, it is literally say it. That is not my portion. You declare it loud, redemption is my portion. You must understand this. Death is not an accident. Those things you see, they are the spirits of affliction, and God hasn't sent it to you. Are you getting my point? One of the things the devil tries to do is to scare you. When he scares you, you open your heart for him. And he wants to jump in through that level. And what if you allow fear, fear is very powerful. Shall I prove it to you? I'm sure you know it, but it's good to prove it. In the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciple almost drowned. You know the story? Yes, Peter. He had the word of God. What was the word of God? Come. And that word caused him to float on water. Then CNN began to broadcast. This day started releasing their press releases. The president declared state of emergency over a particular virus. And the man focused on the news. When he focused on the news, in his own case, it was the waves. It was the wind. When he focused on the news, fearing, what happened? He began to sink. You must not let fear come into your heart. If you woke up early morning yesterday to bathe in salt, I forgive you on God's behalf. Yes, as a child of God, I forgive you. I hereby release you from that, your sin. If you drank mistakenly, I know your heart, you are repentant. So I'm telling you on God's behalf, you are forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven you. Daughter, your sins are forgiven you. You will not be afflicted in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, I was trying to explain something. So when we open our hearts to fear, fear opens a door. It literally opens a door. I say all the time, anytime you hear news, you must respond. Check the scriptures. What did the Bible say? That's the first response. Too much discussion of Ebola virus. You'll be discussing Psalm 91. Yes, constantly discuss Psalm 91. No evil will befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling. Discuss that one all the time. Focus on it. Read it until you can read it backwards. You get my point? Know it by heart. For every time somebody sends you a WhatsApp message, reply the people. Reply the person. When they say that, bait with salt, tell the person, I have baited with the word, don't worry. Tell the person, I have been washed by the blood. I am safe from the indignation. Tell the person, listen, in Egypt, God sent calamity into Egypt. But, for his people. In fact, I was reading Albi time, he said that Psalm 91 was a psalm of Moses that he wrote during the plagues in Egypt. And that was why he said, no evil shall befall you, and no plague will come near your dwelling. I called a friend of mine yesterday night. He lives in Lagos, and he's a doctor in one of the hospitals. I said, hey, how are you handling this crisis? He said, we have drawn a bloodline. That was his answer. He said, my brother, we have drawn a bloodline. We have told that virus thus far and no further. We went ahead to discuss, and he explained that they had to start praying. He said, because he understands the infrastructure in Nigeria, that we cannot handle that kind of calamity. So they began to intercede for the land. Say, God, no. Even though we know we sinned, use another method to... You understand my point? Yeah, he began to intercede for the land. That's the right spirit. Imagine if I call somebody and say, my brother, I don't know what people will go do. People will go move, come, and go meanwhile. It wouldn't even encourage me as a person. But the answer he gave me is that, I said, how are you handling the crisis? He said, my brother, we have drawn a bloodline. We have told the plague, mind yourself. That's how Christians are supposed to respond. Not fearing the fears of people. Listen. No evil will befall you.
Amen.
For everyone that you dearly love, God will show them mercy because of you.
Amen.
The same way God remembered Lot because of Abraham, he will remember your people because of you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare upon you that you are a citizen, spiritually speaking now, of Goshen.
Amen.
I'm speaking now about the Goshen that was in Egypt, where the children of Israel dwelt, and the plagues of Egypt could not cross in to meet them. The noisome pestilence will not come near your dwelling in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are delivered from all evil in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, death is a spirit, it's not a virus. Death is a spirit. He goes around looking for whom he may devour. Once God says go that way, start looking for whom he can devour. And that is why he talks to people. Can I kill you? Can I kill you? Most people say, hey, why you won't kill me now? Say, you look nice to kill. No, I know go sweet, so you know go fit chop my flesh. Okay, let me try first. Then he bites the person and starts shivering. It's ordinary malaria. Say, I think I have been afflicted. Devil say, cause the other people. This guy is a good candidate for demolition. When he comes, says, can I kill you? You say, no. You say, why? He say, because I have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The guy will go to your neighbor's house. He's going around seeking whom he might what? Devour. Listen, I'm trying to balance these things. For you, Christians, the judgment of God is not upon you. You know, the judgment of God was not upon Israel. You know that? In Egypt. But imagine that some people say, let's sacrifice in our life. We are not staying in Goshen. We are going to Jerry. Near Pharaoh's house. You understand my point? Yes, I like the government area. So you go near the princes of Egypt. You build your tabernacle near Pharaoh. So the land here is good. God said, if you want to escape the plague, what do? Run to where? Goshen. When the hottest of the plagues was going to arrive, sacrifice an animal. He said, no. This is ceramic tiles I imported from Italy. I don't want any blood stain on it. Just put it down here. You know, human beings behave funny. Believe me, there were Jews that were living near Pharaoh's palace. They came and told us, okay, even if you won't move to Goshen, please paint your doors. They say, no. You can see it's white. It's white plaster. If you put blood on it now, it may not be able to wash off. All right, let's just put it near the dusty down there, you know. Say, but Moses said that we should paint, you know, the lintels, you know, and then the posts. That we can't put it on the threshold. No. Say, will Moses see it? You don't know human beings. There were people who did that. And that night, the angel of death entered into their lives, into their homes, and killed somebody there. What am I going to say? We have to be careful that even though we are the redeemed of the Lord, are you getting my point? We still obey the words of God. We obey the instructions. One of them is don't fear their fear. Declare it loudly. What I tell you in secret, shout it from the rooftop. In the name of Jesus, I am safe. In the name of Jesus, no evil will befall me. In the name of Jesus, no plague will come near my dwelling. In the name of Jesus, I have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, this spirit of death cannot touch me. When you do that, and then you cry for mercy upon the land, that spirit will turn around and go away. Are you getting my point? Why? Because you have drawn mercy from God. You can't draw mercy from God if you are the one that is fearful. That is how we apply sacrifice today. Are you getting my point? You know, when David sacrificed that thing, the angel had to leave. The slaughtering came to an end. And I'm saying we also have to constantly offer our sacrifices. We keep on declaring the word of God and asking for his mercy upon the land. Very important. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's continue our message, all right? I've been trying to get into it, but I guess the Lord wanted to get that one out. When you get home, bless somebody. Are you getting my point? Yes. Don't just keep quiet. You know, that's one thing Christians must do. We must talk. When you get home, everybody, they shake. Tell your parents. Tell everybody inside your house. Say, hey, I'm just coming from where I went to hear the word. And I was told to tell this house, peace be upon this house. Therefore, everybody staying in here, relax. You are okay. God delivered a whole shipload of human beings because of one person. Remember the story? Paul, Acts about 27. There were many criminals there, you know that. Many criminals. But I'm sure Paul just looked and said, ah, God, have mercy. Because, all right, you know what we're going to do? We'll just destroy the ship. Why? If they had listened to Paul, they would not have lost anything. So God still shows them some mercy. Oh, God is good, though. I said God is good, though. Let me get into our message. All right. So we have been talking about the seven names of God. And let me emphasize this to us again. When we're talking about the seven names of God, we're not counting the names 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We are saying the names of God are innumerable. We are saying that the names of God, all right? We discover a new name for God as we discover his character. God's name is a description of his character, is a description of his glory, is a description of his disposition towards you and towards me. That's the name of God. It's not just that we say his name is El Shaddai. That is true, that is his name. But El Shaddai is the Hebrew for a name that you and I can understand. We can easily call him the all-sufficient God.